We are a people who like to be seen. We are a people who need to be seen. And we see this played out within men and women's lives. We see it played out within our children's lives. We see it played out within our society. Examples, the men and women. I remember when I first met Jackie and the glances that we had and just the desire to be seen. When we locked eyes, it was like we locked eyes and we could not go any other way but just enjoying each other's glances. Going back further, prior to Jackie, I was in middle school and I had a crush on Deb. And we were in Spanish class together. And you know how middle school is, just awkward, weird. I'm in middle school, and we're like two or three seats away, and Devin's over here, and I'm like look over at her, and I'm just started a class, and then she looks over at me, and she looks at me, and I'm like, wow, this is weird. She looked at me, and she smiles. I'm like, oh, this is great. I'm like, look back down at my desk. I'm like, oh, and my heart went from my stomach to my head back to my heart. I just didn't know what to do, so I look back at her, and she's still smiling. And I notice, I'm like, she's not quite, look, Risa's about to wave to her, and like, you know, the old gaga-ish. I noticed there's another guy over here that I'm like in between. And so here I am. It was just one of those moments, junior high. We see it played out in the lives of our children. My kids, they love to be seen. We would, from The Knight's Tale, how many have seen that movie, The Knight's Tale, so I know what I'm talking about. Okay, they introduce the knights before they go into battle, and this guy would get up there, the jester, and he would just go off and just like, now introducing the greatest, the mightiest, da-da-da-da-da, and on and on and on and on. Well, so we started picking that up for our kids in our home, and so we would introduce our kids. They'd all run into the back bedroom, and then we'd, this long strand, the most high, most beautiful princess, and just go on and on, lavishing them with love. Adelie Grace, and then they'd come running in and just accolade. Ah, they'd dance around. And then lastly, we see it within our society. We are a people who like to be seen. We see it on Facebook. We see it on Twitter, Instagram, thank you, Pinterest, and lastly of all, YouTube. Anyone can go to YouTube and put a video up on YouTube. It's crazy. Some of the videos you see on there, it's just like, really? Are you serious? They put this video. So we as a society, we like to be seen. Now, that's an inherent nature within us, but God has put that within us for a redemptive value. For God sees us and he knows us. He sees our need and he has provided us with our greatest need, and that is himself. And we'll see that today in the scripture. So before I further ado, we'll get into, we're Genesis chapter 22, the name of God, Yahweh Yireh, or Jehovah Jireh. That is the title of the sermon today, God sees, or God provides. And I'll get into why I say God sees here after I read the text and pray. So Genesis chapter 22, I will read verses 1 through 19. The word of the Lord. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." So he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for your love, for your great and wondrous love that you have seen us, God, and that you have provided for us in our greatest need. You have provided for us. We love you, God, because you first loved us. And today we worship you, God. We praise you, God, for you are worthy of all that we are and all that we have. God, help us to see today your love. Help us to embrace your love. Help us to walk out your love in obedience, Lord. And I pray that you would be glorified in each heart here. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. I encourage each one of you to reread that passage as you go home today and look at it through the eyes, and I'm sure it's the Spirit of God was already working upon your heart to show you. But in theology, we have a thing called biblical typology, and it's simply showing the symbols. God shows us symbols in the Old Testament and foreshadows an event or a person or a thing in the New Testament. And so as we looked at this scripture, this passage this morning, we're able to see the New Testament coming over and overlapping and seeing God's heart displayed for us right there within the Old Testament. And so that's called typology. And I just encourage you to go back over throughout the day, and as you're listening to this sermon, to ponder those types and those symbols and to receive the Lord's love that He has for you today. God sees, and in His seeing He provides. That goes back to the word in the Hebrew, and it actually is, yirah is the word to see, and God has seen, and God has foreseen. We see in the New Testament, in Ephesians 1:4, that God, before the foundations of the world, God chose us in Christ, and God has seen, and God has met that need within His Son, Jesus Christ. And so today, we just focus on that one fact. Abraham's life, we see throughout Abraham's life that God met him. God appeared to him. God manifested himself to Abraham. He came down from heaven and spoke with him because God had predestined him. God had called him out of the land of Ur unto himself to be separated from a land of idolatry, to come to himself and be filled with God and to love God and to be with God. And so he called him out of that land. He predestined him. He called him. and he justified him. We see that by his faith that Abraham was justified by his belief. We see that. It was accounted to him as righteousness. And we know now that Abraham is glorified. Abraham is in heaven with Jesus Christ in his presence right now. And someday we will be in that presence too for those who believe. And so that's exciting. As we've covered in the past couple of months, we have covered Abraham's encounters. Abraham came and he came to find out that Lord God, that God is Lord, that God is Adonai, that God is sovereign over all of creation, that God is in charge and has planned the beginning from the end. He knows it inside and out. That God is sufficient and that we are, and he was, to surrender. So God is sovereign, God is sufficient, and we are to surrender Adonai, the Lord our God. We also know that through Brian taught us that God is Elohim. God is all-powerful. God is almighty. God is self-existent. God is uncreated. God is set apart from us, the creation. He is alone. He spoke and he created all things out of nothing. And so we see that God is all-powerful. And today we see that God sees. He's a God who sees. He's a God who provides. And when he sees his children in need, he provides them with their needs. Amen. Thank you. God is sovereign. So first off, we see in the text that God tests his children. God tests those whom he loves. God is sovereign, and he either brings it about directly or he brings it about indirectly, these tests. We see that he tested Abraham directly, but from the scriptures we see that he does it also indirectly. We see that in I think I might have gotten ahead of myself, which I did, so let me back up. First off, what is a test? So a test is to examine in order to assess its nature or the nature thereof, to prove. Okay, what is the difference between a test and a temptation? So let's go to James. If you guys will turn to James chapter 1 real quick. A temptation, as we see in James chapter 1, is brought about by our own desires. Those are brought up through the flesh. And then also we have the world construct, and we have the devil who comes in and entices us away by our sinful desires. And so that is a temptation. A temptation is evil, whereas a test is good and just. And God tests us, but he does not tempt us. And that's what we learn in James. Now, the last thing is about a test. Why does God test us? Now, I told you to turn to James. Let's go ahead and read in chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience, perseverance, endurance. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." So we see from the scriptures that God tests us to bring about an endurance and to bring about a completeness. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 8, and I'm going to read that as well. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials or tests, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So he tests us so that the genuineness of our faith, so that our faith is refined, that we grow in strength and stature in our faith. And last is God's ultimate goal in bringing us into conformity with his Son. And we see that in Romans 8:29. "To whom those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Now we see Abraham, right? And God came, spoke to him, and the next morning he woke up and he had pancakes, right? And he was eating his breakfast, and he's like, boy, this is an opportunity for growth. He was faced today. This is an opportunity for growth. No, he didn't. He didn't realize that he was in the midst of a test. And so he had only God's word to rely upon. And so that's exactly what he did, is he relied upon God's word. We see him being conformed to the image of God throughout his whole life. So Abraham, at this point of his test, he was about 100 years old, okay? God called him at the age of 75, and so we don't know, somewhere in between there, he was either 100, I think he was probably 125 to 150. He died at the age of 175, so I'm thinking he's anywhere between 125 and 150. So if he's 125, that means that he has walked with the Lord 50 years. Can you imagine that? Think for yourself, 50 years of walking with the Lord in your own life, out of your own experience, how long have you walked with the Lord? And can you imagine walking with him and growing in the knowledge of his grace and his mercy and his love for 50 years? Some of you have. Who here has been walking with the Lord 50 years? Yeah, all right. We got two. Larry and Joan. Yeah, look right at her face. Okay. Sorry, Joan. I love you. You know I love you. So 50 years. So we see the penultimate of Abraham's test is that God comes to him after 50 years. And this is just so awesome to see Abraham and to see the Father's heart bestowed upon Abraham in this test. We see that Abraham, that typology again, that Abraham is a father. He gives up his one and only son. If you read the passage where we read and concentrate and focus on that, one and only son, one and only son, one and only son, over again, like three times he says that. So we see the Father's heart in Abraham in giving up his own son for the benefit of others. And it is because he does bless the nations, doesn't he? Every tribe, every tongue will be blessed in and through Abraham's faith. So the question is, how do we see Abraham, okay, we see his whole life, we see his mistakes as well. So we know that Abraham has made mistakes in his life. We know that he goes to plan B with Ishmael, and we know that he doesn't obey God fully. A lot of the times he's called out of the land of Ur, leave your father, leave your mother. We see the gospel in this. Throughout his whole life, we see the gospel played out to leave your mother, your father. God says, Jesus says, to hate your mother and your father in the New Testament, meaning that we have such a love for God that our love for our family seems grossly the opposite, okay? But we still are to love our family. And so we see Abraham, his faith is exemplified. So he is fallen like us. He is in need of a Savior. He is in need of God to come and meet with him. And he realizes that. And so we see Abraham in his walk throughout this time that he meets with God, he relies upon God, and he trusts in God. He trusts in God's word. God speaks to him, and he believes in God's word. And so as he heads up the mountain, so God is silent. So in our tests and in our trials, something for us to take away is that when God speaks to us, oftentimes we're in trials or tests, he will be silent. It doesn't say that God spoke to him on the trail up through the mountains. He was silent. And so Abraham had to rely upon God's word that had been spoken to him and the promise. And so he relied upon that. And Scripture is silent as far as his worries and his concerns and his doubts. It was a credit to him as righteousness, his faith. Okay? And he believed God at his word. And so he had his mind fixed on the promise of God and on the word of God. And so he's walking this 3 days through the mountains, and he's not worried. He's not filled with anxiety. He is fixed on the promise of God. And irregardless, God can raise Isaac from the dead. That's what he's believing. He's going through that in his mind. He's going, I'm going to believe God, and I'm going to continue to believe in what he has told me about the promise of his son. We also see from the scriptures that Job is a great example. We read in Job 23, 10 through 12. So God has tested men throughout the time. So going back to our test. He tested Job. He tested Joseph. He tested Jesus Christ himself. We see in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, that Jesus Christ was tested for our good. Okay? Job was tested. God, directly or indirectly, will test us. And so we see that in the life of Joseph. His brothers took Joseph and threw him into a pit and left him there for dead. And we see the example of Christ, the suffering servant, arise out of that. At the end of Joseph's life, Joseph says, "You, what you meant for evil, God meant for good." In Job's life, the same, similar instance, Satan comes and asks God, "Let me have your servant Job. I will show you that he is unfaithful and that he is unrighteous." And we know that story, that Job goes through his life and is just picked apart by Satan. But God meant it for his good. And Job says himself, he says, "But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold." Reminding you of Peter and what Peter said about his faith. "The genuineness of his faith shall shine forth as gold. My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." We see Jesus Christ in the New Testament, that he was led by the Spirit out into the wilderness. He was tempted by the devil, but I believe he was led by God. He was tested. That was a testing for Jesus Christ. Very man, very God, he was tested. God has provided for us in and through his word. In the word of God, we see that God meets with his people. We see that Abraham was provided for, and we see that we are provided for in and through the promises of God. We read that in 2 Peter 1:3 through 4. "God in his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." How are we to go about our lives walking in faith? How are we as a people to do that? That is the question today. And so we see it in and through. We cling to God's word. Where is the word of God? Have you prioritized God's word in your life? Is it a priority? We say it's the word of God is eternal. The word of God is inerrant. The Word of God is infallible. All these great big words. But where does the Word of God sit in your home? Where does the Word of God sit in your heart? Is it of priority? Is it of importance? Do you read it? Do you depend upon it? Do you study it? I was so convicted on this. I was just reading through this. I was like, oh, where is the Word of God? Am I believing in the promises of God for my own self and for the life of my church? And so we want to really examine our hearts. Where is the Word of God in our lives? Have we prioritized the Word? And how have we prioritized it? We have excuses that we make for ourselves. I don't have enough time. We've all been given the same amount of time. I'm not a reader. People say that and you just gotta laugh. If your boss came up to you and handed you a 100-page pamphlet and said, "Memorize this, and by the end of the year, if you have it memorized, you will get a $100,000 bonus," we would be tearing out our hair. Our wife and our children would be keeping me up all night by candlelight. "Memorize this, Dad. Get it down." Okay? And I would be doing the same thing. I would be clamoring for the word, that instruction booklet. So we just need to reprioritize. We need to look at the way we look at the Word of God. So men, I address you because you are the leaders in your home. You are the leaders in your community. You are the leaders in your workplace. You are the leaders here in the church. Men, I address you. You will be held responsible for your time that you have spent with God and through His Word. And so I just encourage you to pour out your heart before your wife. If you have not been reading the Word of God to your wife, if you have not been reading the Word of God to your children in your home, if you have not been studying it, repent today. Tell your wife, "I'm sorry I've not washed you with the Word. I'm sorry that I've not elevated God's Word in our home. I'm sorry It's easy to do. And you can start afresh and you can start anew today. It's easy. But you have to, as men, we must take responsibility for this. It's important. It's of vital importance. Here's some scriptures, just five quick scriptures for you to memorize, men. If you don't already have these memorized, tuck these away. Psalm 119:11. Your word I have hidden in my heart so that I might not sin against you. That's a good one. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from my mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written in it. And then you will be prosperous and you will have good success. Psalm 1. Meditate on Psalm 1. Memorize Psalm 1. Essentially, the first portion of that says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. We see that Abraham saw the gospel. And how do we know that Abraham saw the gospel? We see that in John 8:36. Or 8:56. Jesus states that Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad. Abraham experienced God. He experienced that he was Lord. He experienced that he was Almighty Creator. He experienced that he was his provider, and he rejoiced. And Abraham, we see in his life that he lived the gospel out. He was conformed unto the image of God. In the very last endings of his days, he was conformed unto his image. It was not, the gospel was not some pat knowledge that he received and then put off to the side. It was of first importance, the gospel in Abraham's life. He lived the gospel. He breathed the gospel. He saw the gospel and he lived it out in his life. So we should too. I remember when I was younger in my walk, coming into the Lord and experiencing God and his goodness and his grace, and just on fire for the first couple years of my walk, and then I kind of went away from the gospel. I'm like, oh, I don't need that. I'm kind of searching for other things and gifts and just running around with my head cut off, essentially. And then God in his grace and mercy came back and brought me back to the gospel, got me back to himself through the gospel, and just really got a hold of me and said, this, my son, this is what you shall live for. This, my son, this is what you shall preach. This is who you are, and this is who you want to share with others. So in that, men, I charge you today to read the Word of God, to memorize the Word of God. So the Word, in order to be men of faith, we must hear the Word of God. How do we hear the Word of God? We read the Word of God. We ingest the Word of God. Romans 8:32 says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? So this is the next point. So he gives us his son, he gives us the scriptures, he gives us his spirit. Okay? We take the son and the gospel, and we run with the word, and by empowered by the spirit, but also through prayer and asking God. If we take this knowledge, this great vast knowledge that God has given us himself, that God has bestowed and placed his spirit within us for life and godliness, that we can be conformed unto his image, that we can be holy, that we can be pure, that we can live a life that brings glory to him, that we can bring a message to others who are lost and dying in this world through the power of the gospel working inside of us. This is wonderful and great and glorious news. And how do we not trust God for the simple things in life? We, instead of going to God, we go to the counselor. Instead of going to God, we go to the doctor. Instead of going to God, we go to the school. We go to the principal. We go to these other means, and we're not going to God first. Jackie and I, a little glimpse into our life. Our daughter, Adelie, we've just been having a struggle with parenting her and just seeing stuff come out of her. Her sin and just, you know, we've really been struggling. And Jackie was like, we need to get her into counseling, which I agree with her. She said, we need to bring her to counseling. I'm like, yeah, we do. But I said, but let's do this first. I said, let's pray for 30 days. Let's, every morning, every night, let's pray together for our daughter, and we'll see God do a work in and through her. And so I just, out of my own life, we need to go to God. We need to ask Him. He cares for us, you know. He loves us. Amelia, the other night for Awana, before we went, she couldn't find her book, and it was the store for Awana, and she just had to go buy her Awana books. And she's like, where's my book? Where's my book? And we tore her room upside down and in and out, and we searched the kitchen, and we searched her bedroom, we searched her sister's rooms, and we could not find her book. And so I'm finally like, okay, Allie, or Amelia, let's pray. I'm just like thinking, oh Lord, you've got to answer this prayer. So we pray a quick prayer and ask God, God help us to find her book. And then I go in her room, and I'm like, the last place I didn't look, I just had this impression. I'm like, look under in the basket. She's got a basket, and it's filled with her stuffed animals. And so I go over to that, and I pick it up, and I turn it out, and the book falls out on the bottom. I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus. And we rejoice. We grab the book, and we run to Awana. So God cares. He sees you in the midst of your trial and your test, and He loves you, and He wants us to come to Him. He says in Matthew that if you are an earthly father, you know how to give good gifts to your children, and you being evil, how much more if we go to God and we just ask Him for things in our lives? So I just encourage you, go to the Word, go to God in prayer and ask Him, and He will provide. Our God is a provider. Depend upon God, go to Him, and He will provide for us. And He is good. All right. God cares about you. He sees you, as I said. God has seen us in the midst of our trials, and He's provided for us. God looks down from heaven, and He sees you right now. He sees you in your drunken stupor, and He brings you sobriety. God sees you, and He takes pity upon you as a father does a child. He sees you in your darkest depression, and He brings you light. He provides light. He sees you mourning for your child who has gone astray, and He provides comfort. He sees you in your pain and your sickness, and He provides healing. He sees you in your struggles in your marriage and in your family, and He provides hope. He sees you in your weakness, and He provides grace. Grace, grace, grace. For in my weakness, His power is perfected, for His grace is sufficient for me. Our God is a great God, and He has provided for us in and through His Son, in and through His Word, and in and through His Spirit who resides in us. And so I encourage you today, if you have not received Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, that you would not put off till tomorrow what you can do today. If you have heard His voice today calling to you, saying, arise, O sleeper, come forth, come to me. He loves you. He has given His Son for you. You can give yourself unto Him today. Surrender to Him. Go to someone else. You can come to me. You can go to anyone in here. They will pray with you, and they will encourage you to follow God in your walk with Him, okay? So I encourage you to go to Christ today, and do not put off tomorrow. So as the elders get ready for communion, Brian will come up here, and he will lead us through communion. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your great love. We thank You, God, that You have provided for all of us, God, that You have seen us, that You have cared for us, God, that You have given to us Your Word, that we might have life, that we might have life abundant, that, God, we might be more like You, transformed, God, from glory to glory. We love You, God, because You first loved us. We praise You, God, today for the work that You have done here in our midst, Lord. You have met us, God, and we love You. We thank You. We praise You. We ask, Lord, You continue to bless us, continue to bless us through the nourishment of our body, through the body of Christ, through the blood of Christ, that we would partake with you in this great gift, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.